Thank you. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Say, Uncle. Any of you ever have that experience on the playground? Maybe that wasn't part of your culture. It's part of mine. When the bully would put you in a headlock, and if you wanted to get out, he'd say, Uncle! None of you had that experience? Some of you? Oh, there you go. See, I made this critical error. I didn't observe my family genetics. And so I grew faster than most people, and in grade 4, I was actually larger and taller and bigger than the kids in my class. Well, that lasted for a grand total of 6 months. So I had 6 months of being the bully and then, you know, many years of paying for it. So, but, isn't it amazing that we are always pursued by the world and by Satan to give up? You know, we're told there's no hope. Give up. Quit. You don't matter. You're not that important. You don't have standing. There's always someone better. There's always someone with more. There's always someone who we look to and say, if only I was that person, then I wouldn't give up. But I don't have what they have. I'm not them. You know, our sinful nature leans towards giving up, leans towards losing heart. The actual Greek word here is better, I think, defined as losing heart rather than giving up. And what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples is that we should pray constantly, that we should pray always, and never give up. And he uses an example that I must confess that I have often used as an example of how we ought to live. He uses the example of the persistent widow. And I have made the mistake, I must confess to you, of saying we should be like the persistent widow. And what does the persistent widow do? Pardon me? Yeah, she keeps going after that bad judge, right? And what does she say? Give me justice! Give me justice! Give me justice! I need justice! Can you just hear the whining? I mean, she has no power. She's nothing. He has all the power, and yet she persists in bothering him. As a matter of fact, the word here in Greek is she makes him weary. She tires him out. Yeah. She nags him. She nags him to the point where he's so frustrated. He says, even though I don't fear God, even though I don't care about men, just to stop the nagging, I'm going to give in. Isn't that what happened? And it was so interesting because so many times I preached about this, I said, you know, God is not like the unjust judge. I mean, that's fairly evident, right? God is not like the unjust judge. He is faithful. He is loving. He is just. And he will bring justice. And he will take care of his chosen ones. And that's evident because what does Jesus say? He tells them the parable. He says, you know, there was this widow who was treated unjustly. She goes and she persists in bothering the judge until the judge gives in. And then Jesus uses these words to, he says this, he says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. You see, I've made the mistake of saying, well, you know, the unjust judge isn't like God, but we're like the widow. And I want to confess to you, we are not like the widow. We aren't. Because Jesus makes it very clear, and I don't know how he missed this, but he makes it very clear here who we are, right? Because what does Jesus say? Will not God take care of his chosen? His elect. Who are we? The chosen ones. We don't have nothing. We have everything. We have the mark of Christ both upon our forehead and upon our heart to mark us as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. We are his chosen people. We are the elect. That's the word here, actually, is the elect. In the NIV, they say chosen ones. But it's really the elect. We are the elect. And so when we come to God, we don't come with arrogance. We come with humility. That's why I think the widow is always attractive to talk about us being like the widow, because we don't come with anything, right? We don't come with anything. When we look at ourselves compared to God's holiness, we have nothing to bring, correct? We recognize that. We come with humility, but when we come to ask, what does he say? He says we are heirs. We are his children. We address him as Abba Father. We come with expectation that our God is going to give us good things, that our God is going to answer us and give us justice, that our God will answer our prayers quickly. And I'm of the mind that if he doesn't answer our prayers quickly, it's because something has to change in us. That our prayer isn't what God looks at us and says, this is not best for you. This is not the best for your situation. And so when things don't happen quickly, I'm always of the mind that God is saying either no, because he knows it's detrimental to us, or wait until you're ready. And so when we talk about our relationship up, we talk about prayer in our relationship up, we talk about prayer in our relationship in. We talk about the importance of praying together. And I love coming back to Cross and Resurrection where we can pray even as a group. And we allow people to pray out loud. We encourage it. You know, fill out the cards. Put them in the offering plate. We pray for you. Fill out, pray in the service. Pray because there's power in prayer. God wants us to be a people of prayer. Do you believe me? I am so tired of people neglecting this gift. This is a huge gift. This is a gift from God. He has given us the right and the privilege to address the maker of the universe, the creator of all things, who created things in 6 days. If he can create the universe in 6 days, I'm telling you, do you think he can answer our prayers quickly? Brothers and sisters, he desperately wants us to pray. Not because he doesn't already know what our needs are, but because he wants a relationship with us. And so what I'm asking of you is to consider that not only is prayer important up with God, I don't know how you can have a relationship up with God if you don't have the word in prayer, but it's important in our relationship in, but it's also the power of our relationship out. If we are going to see revival happen, it's because the church will be awakened to the power that God has given it as his chosen ones. If there's going to be an awakening in the church, it's going to be because we understand that the Word of God is unchanging and it's as powerful and as important and as true today as it was when the Lord first spoke it. That it has just as much relevance today as it did 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 years ago at creation. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we understand when we share, like last week we talked about sharing what we already have and know. How many of you had interesting responses to your text? A few of you? Anyone want to share what their response was? Was it good? Someone say, leave me alone, I'm sleeping? No? Was it a good response?
Yes.
Cool. So as we talk about who we are as a church and the importance of sharing what we have and who we are, the next thing that I want to talk about is the power of prayer. If you look at the early church, we read Acts chapter 3. Remember what happened in Acts chapter 3? The disciples did what most Jewish people did if you were in Jerusalem, is they went to prayer. And they went in the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They went for prayer. And as they were coming out of prayer, they saw a man who was brought to the temple to ask for alms, basically to beg. And this person was sitting at the beautiful gate, which is the big gate where you go through and you have the court. And then before you go into the inner court, it's called the beautiful gate. And he's sitting at the beautiful gate. And what does Peter say to him when he approaches Peter and John asking for alms? What does he say? Yeah. He says, silver and gold have I none. But here's what I have. And he it's really a prayer, isn't it? In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Be healed. Now that requires faith, right? I mean, it would be easier to give money, wouldn't it? Because at least you're going to see something. You hand them, you know, $1 or $2 or $5, at least you can see that they have something. But to take the step of faith to say, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be healed, wow. And that's a type of prayer, that's a type of out that I hope we have. Because I believe that if there's going to be revival, it's going to be through the awakening of the church within, which says we are chosen ones. We have a God who is not like the unjust judge, who wants to give us justice, who wants to answer our prayer, who wants to show his power, and he desperately wants his chosen ones to act like they are chosen ones and to leave awakened and refreshed to go out into the world and to see revival happen because we're willing to pray with people and expect that God will answer those prayers. Here was the need, and the disciples recognized the need, and they prayed boldly, and what happened? And I just love this. The reason I picked this text was it's one of my favorites because of the response of this gentleman. Because what does the Bible say? Yes! He went walking and leaping and praising God. I remember singing songs when I was a kid, you know. Walking and leaping and praising God and thinking, okay, walking and leaping and praising, aren't they kind of the same thing? But there's something amazing about that. If you were on a mat, if you were unable to walk, if your ankles and your feet were unable to be used for so long that you could ultimately, in the presence of God and of his power, be able to do something, wouldn't you walk and leap and praise God? I'd just like to see the leaping. I was wondering, you know, what was that? What would that look like, you know? But it was an expression of true joy. And brothers and sisters, we have this amazing gift, and we act like the world wants us to act. We think that prayer is just for whining to God. You ever notice that? I'm not saying all the time, but there's a lot of times that we use it like we all act like the persistent widow. We act like God's unjust. It's like we've got to whine until he answers us. And yet, I believe that he's doing something on purpose. He's contrasting the widow and the judge, us and our relationship with God. And he's saying, you're not the widow, and I'm not the unjust judge. You are the chosen one, and I am your God. And I desperately want you to know the power of prayer. And it will be the power that changes lives. And the big thing, when we went to Sheffield, the most amazing things was everything they did to reach out, and they did a lot of things. They fed the hungry. They gave toilet paper to people. I guess that was something that was expensive. They gave all kinds of different things to people who had needs. But one of the biggest things was they asked people, can we pray for you? They didn't just give these things, but they asked, can we pray for you? And the testimonies that I heard of people who shared how God answered those prayers, how God touched people through the power of prayer, I thought, you know, are we like Peter and John, or do we default to, like, let's find some money here? Actually, it's not either or, it's both and, right? We can help in both ways. But my question for you is, how many times have you said to someone, and I'm guilty of this, that you've heard tell you their story, and you've heard that, you know, them talk about the fact that things are really, really bad. And how many of us have said, you know, silver or gold have I none, but this I have. How many of us have taken the time to pray with them? Have asked them, can we pray with you? Can I pray with you? Maybe you're better than me, and I'm a pastor. I should know this. But there are many times where, you know, I go into this male thing, you know, where I try to solve the problem. Any of you have that difficulty? Some of you challenge that way, a few of you. Most of you men are lying, but that's okay. No. It's natural. We like to solve the problem. And so instead of, you know, I listen, but then my mind starts to think, okay, how can I solve this problem? And I think we are called upon to try to solve problems. I'm not saying you can't solve the problem, but what I'm asking you is, how many times do we, because we're trying to solve the problem, forget about the power that we have to really help? The power that we have been given in prayer to really, truly help people in more significant ways than we could ever do with silver or gold. And how many of us have defaulted to the silver and gold? Just a question. But I think it's an important one. So my prayer for us is, as we become the Church of Antioch, as we see ourselves not only doing everything the church in Acts chapter 2 did, but that we also be a people who continue to ask the question, how do we influence our community? How do we reach out? How are we providing for people? How are we reaching out to people? That we ask the question, do we know that it's simply sharing what we already have? My whole goal in this out part of this was to try and make this simple. I don't know if I'm accomplishing it, but this is my goal, because I know, like I said last week, people are scared of this. As a matter of fact, there are many churches that don't even use the word evangelism anymore because people are scared of that phrase, because they've been taught it's a program. They have to do certain things, say certain things, do certain things certain ways, and they'll have results. And I'm here to tell you, I don't believe it. I believe it's simply sharing who we are. It's sharing what we have, and it's using what we've been given, which is the word and prayer. The word and prayer. The text I dropped today because of time is important. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 up to chapter 4, verse 5. And I encourage you to read it when you get home. And it talks in there about the power of the word of God, which makes us wise for salvation, which gives us the ability to learn, to teach, to reprove. I mean, it's an amazing passage of Scripture where St. Paul warns young Pastor Timothy that there will be many people who will come who will be false teachers. And he reminds him that the Word is where you're anchored. And so let us never lose that focus. But the Word teaches us that we have many things to offer. And brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you, don't forget the power of prayer. We're a praying church, and I'm very thankful for that. I am very thankful for that. But can we commit to being a people of prayer, so much so that we will pray for people, even if they don't know the power of prayer? Can we share with them this wonderful gift? Can we act as the chosen ones, who have a God who wants desperately for us to pray, and who desperately wants, like the disciples, to speak with boldness, to pray with boldness, and to expect things to happen. Somebody will say, well, you know, that person has to be ready. Well, I'm here to tell you, that person who was at the beautiful gate that day, that man was not ready for what he got. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason I say that is, what did he expect when he looked up, when they said, look at me? When Peter said, look at him, what did he expect? He expected alms. He did not expect to be healed. Was he open to it? I believe so. It's part of his culture. He knew God. But brothers and sisters, I believe there are many people out there who really desperately need to know that God still answers prayer, that he wants to pour out his power, and he wants to show them his healing power, his real presence, his amazing gift that he has given to us. His promises are true, and he wants us to pray. Not only up in, but also out, so that more people may know our God.